Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tappin, the Arkansas Paranormal Network. Join us as we discuss everything paranormal with host Wayne Inman and co-hosts Richard the Grizz Haggard and Big Dave. Let's get started. Here's Wayne.
Welcome, everybody, to Tappin, the Arkansas Paranormal Network. Hope everything is going all right y'all's way. And I hope everybody's having a good weekend. We have snow around this area. It's getting snowed in. And, hey, it's all good. I am your host tonight, and I'm my co-host. I was supposed to have two of them, but apparently since today's Richard's birthday, he's not joining us, so he can't get his surprise, which I'm going to be giving y'all a little bit. I have Big Dave, and I do not know if Big Dave has got his stuff lined out or not. Hello, Dave. Apparently not. So, we'll be waiting on Dave to get her in. And, okay, let's see here. Are you there? Nope. Didn't work either. I have two Big Daves on the line. Okay. Well, they still didn't hear you or anything like that, so still working on it. Welcome to the bad thing about the show, technology. We always have problems with our shows, with technologies. All right. Well, while he's working on his technical problems, hopefully I am getting out. Everything on my end is supposed to be working just fine. And if so, we'll be talking about Bigfoot and stuff. We're supposed to have some people on tonight. They never got a hold of me, so I kept putting things into play. So we're here. Hopefully, they've got 2 hours to get his end going. Let's see. Are you there? I think it's on that one. Let's see. Are you there? Nope. He's not on either one of them, though. Okay. Everybody, well, just stand by and hopefully we'll get things rolling here. Oops. Well, everybody, I hope everybody's able to hear me. I really don't think everybody can hear me because, oh, there we go. Yeah. All right, I am getting through, so I actually had to call into the studios and listen in that way, so. I am getting through. That's a good thing. All right, turn that off before we have an echo. Oh, Dave just left. Let's see here. All right. Well, looks like I'm on my own for a while until Dave figures out his little system that he's got going. And but anyway, like I said, I'm your host, Wayne Inman. My co-host, two co-hosts, one's birthday today is Richard Haggard, the Grizz, is birthday today. So he's had a big day. I guess he's in the house, sleep, enjoying his birthday, or had a big birthday and enjoying the snow and everything. So, on that note, I had a surprise for him, and apparently he's not going to be able to really listen to it until later on. But here's why I had for him.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, buddy. Hope it's great.
Happy birthday, man. Happy birthday.
Hey, it's T&B from White Collar Sideshow, by the way. Cheers, buddy.
Anyway, that was his little surprise I had for him, but he'll have to listen to it later on, I guess. That was a White Collar Sideshow, and the opening song that you heard behind Dave's voice there, the announcer, was for White Collar Sideshow. They had made that for, or gave that to us to have for our new opening show. So, all right. Well, while Dave is still trying to, I'll start trying to find stuff about the Bigfoot. Everybody's had or having a good weekend. Like I said, we're having a good weekend because we're having a good snowstorm today. So here in Arkansas, if everybody's listening, not really a snowstorm. It's just snowing, and we're not used to snow, so. And we have a little storm. Everything goes haywire around here. All right, well. All right. Still waiting to see what Dave is saying. Are you there, Dave? And nope, Dave's still not there. I can see him, but I can't hear him. I see her wave at him. Hey, wave. Hey, Dave. Technical problems always happen when we do our shows. No matter where we're at, where you're at trying to do the show, we always have technical problems somewhere around the room. Fortunately, it's not my side this time. Bigfoot or Sasquatch is a giant ape-like creature that some people believe roams in Northern America is a cryptid or species rumored to exist. And just like the Capuchubra, or however you want to say it, and the Loch Ness Monster, and the evidence to suggest Bigfoot is actually out there. But that doesn't stop alleged sightings of the ape that never shows its face, or Bigfoot's buffs from trying to prove there's life in the legend. Most Bigfoot sightings occur in the Northwest, where the creature can be likely to be myths and legends. The word Sasquatch is diverted from Sasquatch, a word from the language used by the Salish First Nations people in southwest British Columbia. According to the Origin Encyclopedia, it means wild man or hairy man. Of course, we always heard of a hairy man. Go back over here. And Big Dave is still on there, but he's not talking. Or he probably is trying to talk, not getting turned. So when he gets through, he can just start talking. I got his mic open where he can just talk and it'll surprise me. As early as 1884, the British colonist newspaper in Victoria, Canada, published an account of a gorilla-type creature captured in the area. Other accounts allegedly described a hoax followed. According to Canadian Encyclopedia, Sasquatch book author John Green compiled a list of 1,340 sightings through the 19th and 20th centuries, but the modern Bigfoot or Sasquatch myth gained no life in the late 1950s. In 1958, the Times, I may be saying that wrong, a local newspaper in North California published a story about the discovery of a giant mysterious footprint near Bluff Creek, California. In the story, they referenced to a creature that made them as Bigfoots. According to the Smithsonian Magazine, Bigfoot curiously grew rapidly during the second half of the 20th century after an article in the True Magazine, published in December 1959, described the 1958 discovery. The footprint near Bluff Creek were a prank by a man called by Ray Wallace. His children revealed after his death in 2002. According to Smithsonian Magazine, by the time through Bigfoot was firmly established in a popular culture across the nation since the 1958 article was published, and wealth of another claim have been made about Sasquatch tracks, cast, photo videos, and other evidence. There have been more than 10,000 eyewitnesses across the accounts of Bigfoot in the central U.S. in at least 50 years. Life signs were reported in 2019. In the accounts, Bigfoot is usually described as being 8 foot to 10 foot tall, or 2.4 to 3 meters tall, and covered in hair. Eyewitnesses report a sighting are the most common evidence put forward for the existing of Bigfoot. Unfortunately, these are based on human memories, and memories are not reliable. Life science previously reported in crime case, for example, a witness can be influenced by their emotions and may miss or distort important details in the same being. People also often overestimate their ability to remember things when it comes to cryptids like Bigfoots. The human brain is capable of making up explanations for events it cannot immediately interpret. and many people simply want to believe that they do exist. Five Science previously reported. I go back over here. Dave has disappeared. Hopefully he's still waiting or trying to get in. And I still haven't seen anything from other co-hosts. So, well, just keep right on where you... Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I think he's... This is Dave that called in on his phone.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
You can?
I can,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, better late to the show than never. So...
Don't you just
yeah.
love technology?
Okay.
Well,
I ended up having to call on my phone because, in case, I don't know if you told everybody yet or not, but I'm actually at home, obviously, dealing with the ugly Rona virus. Got me this last week, so managed to dodge it for, ever since it came out. But it finally got me. So, but I'm doing much better. I just can't taste or smell anything, which really sucks because I love food.
Well, since you can't taste or smell anything, then you won't be eating so much. Maybe you'll lose some little weight, right?
Nobody needs to lose any weight over here.
Okay. Well, anyway, everybody, this is Dave. He's my other co-host that's been trying to get on. What happened to your computer?
Yeah, first time I've ever tried to connect, and apparently I didn't have the right equipment for the job. So, but I figured out how to do it. Next time we do this, this won't be an issue. So, anyhow, it's always a learning curve. Everybody's going to learn someday.
Yeah, and I tell everybody... It's a common thing for this show. We always have technical problems somewhere down the road.
Somewhere.
And unfortunately, it was on your side this time.
Yeah. But here we are.
It's usually on my side, but I may. But this time it was here. Now, where's Richard at? I have no idea. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see.
Well, in case, Richard, you are listening, trying to get through the same thing that I've done, you might want to try calling from your phone with some Bluetooth earbuds. That's how I had to call with my earpod. So
the thing about Richard is he's not even online, so I assume he ate all those kebabs and took a nap.
All right. You want me to text him while we're on the phone together? On the show here. Hold on a second. Did you already do that?
I've sent him the. You can see him on the phone, I guess. But I've sent him through text messages. And...
Yeah. Yeah, it should get pretty soon. Anyway, so Richard's not here. Those other people didn't call in. So what do you want to talk about today? Of course, we always talk about pretty much everything paranormal. I think the basic thing you guys want to talk about today was Bigfoot stuff.
Well, I was reading a little bit about Bigfoot, where it came from and started and all that. I know you didn't hear that part, so.
Yeah, I was obviously busy trying to scramble to figure out where in the world I was going to, how the world I was going to do this.
Screaming at the computer, throwing it across the room, kicking it with your foot. No.
Yeah, there's only a few holes in the wall right now.
I noticed you. I know the feeling. Well, I mean, I know you've said that you're not a Bigfoot man.
Actually, I don't have a lot of information about Bigfoot sightings and things of that nature. I've never gone on a Bigfoot hunt. I think I may have said once before on the show that one of my, you know, core beliefs on the Bigfoot theory or belief or sightings, I think it's just a simple natural answer, really. In my opinion, I think it's either something, some sort of animal or some sort of animal that we haven't discovered yet for whatever reason, or it's something that is spiritual in nature. And honestly, I would much rather it be something like spiritual in nature than an actual animal, because I think that's what kind of frightens me, which I don't get scared very easily, but the idea of going out and hunting for something outdoors that could possibly be a real animal we haven't discovered yet, that kind of terrifies me a little bit. I mean, because if I find it, we don't know how that thing's going to react, you know? Whereas ghosts, I think I could, or a spirit or something like that, I figure I could probably, you know, talk my way out of it. You know what I'm saying? Your way out of, you know, giant hairy thing that thinks you look like food. So,
well, the earliest the Bigfoot's ever been reported or recorded is 1884.
And what exactly, how was that discovered?
As early as 1884, the British colonist newspaper in Victoria, Canada, published an account of a gorilla-type creature captured in the area. Now, they say capture. They thought it was what may have been a hoax or something like that. The Oregon Encyclopedia says that the Sasquatch means wild man or hairy man. Sasquatch book authorities John Green complied a list of 1,340 sightings through the 19th century and 20th century, but the modern Bigfoot or Sasquatch myth gained new life in the 1950s.
So there was a period of time there where there wasn't a whole lot of sighting.
Well,
it gained more popularity.
It just gained more popularity in the 1950s with an article, I believe, that was posted. In 1958, the Humanoid Times, or it's a HUMBOLDT Times. A newspaper, I assume.
Humble.
Okay. A local newspaper in North California published a story and discovered a giant, mysterious footprint near Bluff Creek, California. In this story, they refer to the creature that made this as Bigfoot, according to the Smithsonian Magazine. Bigfoot grew rapidly during the second half of the 20th century after the article in a True magazine published in December 1959 described in the 1958 discovery.
Well, you know me. I always come from these.
Oops, Dave left. Dave didn't finish his talk. No, Dave probably had lost the signal. Let's see if he gets the call back. And there you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Technology.
Oh yeah.
Maybe it's just us. Maybe it's the people using it that makes it sound so dumb.
Well,
I don't
know.
But so what I was saying was.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go. You know, I always try to come from this from the skeptical side of things, and while I'm open-minded and I do believe there's a possibility we haven't discovered some creature, there are a lot of questions that lead me to wonder why we haven't discovered this so-called creature yet, considering, you know, they've got to die at one point or another, and they've got to leave a trail of bones somewhere along the way. And whether, you know, there's always that possibility, though, that, hey, maybe they are cave-dwelling, and we just haven't gone into the right caves to find the remains of these things yet, or something like that. There's always that possibility. But you think, after all this time, you know, maybe somebody might have jumped in some cave and, you know, said, what the heck is this?
One
big dude
who
died here.
And nobody came out.
Yeah.
That's why they don't report them, because they don't come back out.
It's always a possibility, too.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, if I'm out in the woods in the middle of nowhere and I see something like that coming at me, I'm going to run like hell and be praying the whole time I'm running.
You don't want to come poo, huh?
Yeah. I mean, but then there's, like I said earlier, there's always that possibility that it's paranormal, like meaning spiritual in nature. Could be some sort of, you know, paranormal being of some sort. And
yeah,
that's not actually in form. It's just looks like it. It appears to be, or makes itself seen. And if that's the case, you know, it's a different story. It wouldn't frighten me as much, which is may seem weird to some people, but to me, it would just make more sense that way.
Uh-huh. Well, see, they are, they're not this, what they call, veggie animals. They eat meat, because they do kill pigs, and they kill cows, kill deer,
supposedly, right.
Supposedly.
That's our belief.
Supposedly. That's what everybody believes, anyway. They supposedly like to follow coyotes, pack of coyotes. If you find a pack of coyotes, a Bigfoot's going to be near. Or if you see a UFO, there's going to be a Bigfoot somewhere. A lot of theorists think Bigfoots are aliens from another planet, and that they sent them down here to look like that, be scared, make us scared of them.
See, that's an interesting theory.
Because a lot of times you see a Bigfoot or have a Bigfoot encounter, you'll see a UFO in the area or something. Or that's what a lot of them say.
And then that's one ugly alien.
And then the reason that you can't find them, when you can follow them, some people have seen them and follow, you know, on video, following through the woods, and all of a sudden they go behind a tree and then they never return on the other side, is because they believe that the UFO has beamed them up, Scotty.
Okay. I guess I must have got that idea from seeing Chewbacca. I mean, it makes sense.
Well,
Chewbacca would be an alien.
But anyway.
Some hairy alien.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a theory, but a lot of the theorists say that it's an alien down here. But anyway, but a lot of them don't think that. And our experience as a team with the Bigfoot thing, we've got something hollering in the woods that we don't know what is. And it's a very vocal and very... you could feel it in your chest as it was yelling. So it was very loud. And then all those footprints that for some reason we found that they're 16, 18 inches long, bare feet, and about, say, a foot wide.
Yeah, you know, I used to think, too, being skeptical, I used to think, well, maybe there's just some idiot out there that likes to walk around in the woods and make those footprints so he can mess with people. But, you know, the more I think about it over time, the more I'm going, you know, what kind of idiots would have that much time on their hands to go out there and mess with people like that?
Well, I mean, they have. There's a lot of hoaxsters out there, too, so, you know. That likes to
but I mean, how are they going to know where you're looking for them?
Well,
they just happen
true.
To.
They do, that's true.
Run
they,
across.
They like to go to creeks and stuff that they know there's pathways that people have taken and walking and stuff like that. And how do they know that anybody's going to be there in 2 or 3 days? Maybe they go out there when there's nobody around. When there's nobody around, they go out there and put their little footprints down, thinking somebody might come around. It may be. Somebody maybe come around that day. Somebody may come next day, but in 2 days it'll be gone because it's going to be rain or animals are going to be running across it or something. Really, you know. So yeah, I mean, but you know, and you got these hoaxsters that like to put footprints down and take pictures of them and send them in, and they won't get famous off of it. You know.
Well, from my point of view, I've seen. And heard a few stories that were pretty convincing from some pretty credible sources. But on the other side, I've also seen, you know, some just outrageous stories that are so unbelievable that you're thinking to yourself, well, either this person truly saw something and they probably need some medication because they were the only one who saw it. You know, or it just, to me, it seems like there's so many variables too, from an investigator's point of view, that you got to get over when you're investigating Bigfoot. That's another reason why I never really got much into it, because there's so many outside, when you're outside investigating anywhere, there's so many different kinds of animals and things that can create noises and things that sound like each other. And so, I mean, I'm not trying to put a bummer on it. But I'm just trying to say, you're to look at it from a logical point of view, a scientific point of view, which many people, then you got to look at those facts. So bottom line, hey, if I ever see a Bigfoot, you can pretty much trust the fact. If I tell you I saw one, that, yeah, they exist. So.
Right.
Because, yeah. It would be a shocker to me. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I've never seen one.
What was the most convincing thing you ever ran across, Wayne, that made you believe in this, or do you believe that?
I've never seen one before, but I have seen shelters made by a Bigfoot, because it's really unexplained. I don't see how a guy could do that or a person could do that. Maybe many people could do that, but then... I don't know why they would be in that area, you know, because off the trail and nobody's around it. And, you know, we found these structures. But because you're talking about a tree that's, well, I don't know, 4 inches around, maybe 5 inches around, bent over and intertwined to each other and not been broken in any way or pulled out of the ground. You know, it's kind of hard.
Yeah,
about,
I've seen
they're
these
probably, they're probably about, you know, 15, 20 feet tall.
Right. And I've seen some of these shelters that you're talking about, and they are interesting.
but that's not the reason.
I mean, I don't see how they would keep them safe from anything or shelter them from the rain or anything like that.
Yeah, I think basically they're more markings than they are shelters, but they call them shelters because they're shaped like a shelter, you know. So I think they're more markings than anything else, you know, than shelters.
Maybe like a hunting blind.
Yeah, something like that, you know.
The way they disguise themselves in the woods so they can get.
Yeah, I mean, you got these. Usually you see the 3 or 4 trees that's intertwined each other. And if you sit in the middle of them and then somebody's way away, yeah, you're not going to see them because of the tree shape, you know. But anyway, that's one thing. And then we've also found those 14 footprints that we can't explain where it came from, you know.
Where are y'all at when this happened?
The shelter and the footprints that we found and took pictures of was up in Dover, Arkansas.
Dover, Arkansas.
Yeah, okay. north of Russellville, probably 40 minutes away from Russellville North.
I'm talking from the point of view of a paranormal investigator with ghosts and spirits and things of that nature, which I've done a lot of over the years. So it may sound strange, but that to me, it's just something about just being out in the middle of the woods by yourself hunting for something like that. To me, it kind of feels like it might be the same fear as like if you're out hunting bear or lions. I mean, doesn't it scare you a little bit?
It does. I mean, the thing is we went looking for this, whatever this is, or the Bigfoot thing. It found us. So. You know,
okay. We weren't
No, we didn't go up there to do any Bigfoot hunts or anything like that. We went up and did an investigation, a paranormal investigation, at a house. Huh. And the house is borders the National Forest up there. And actually the house itself was built on the National Forest. So all that area was National Forest. And the ladies, one of the claims of the activity that she had was something comes up in the middle of the night and raps real hard on the side of her house. And whatever it was tried to get in her back door and tore her back door up, but the door that went at the house, it couldn't open, but the screen door was demolished. And
could it have been bears? Or?
Well, I mean, yeah, it could be bears, but I don't think a bear would rap on the side of the house, you know.
Why would he decide to use a door, too? That's kind of strange.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason what we were thinking. Why would it do it? And it opened the door, opened the screen shut, but the screen wouldn't shut all the way. So it actually stuck his hand in there and opened it up. And she said that something pushed against the door, but it wouldn't move. And then I don't know if the screen got tangled in its hand or whatever. But anyway, it tore the back screen up pretty good. She had to piece it back together. And whatever this thing was kept coming up and in between the propane tank and where her room was, where a solid piece of the house was, and wrapped real hard on the side of the house. And she didn't go out at night because whatever's out there is out there. Well, that day we went out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't go out there.
That day. We went out there to do that investigation. It was a small house. And, of course, I didn't know how big the house was at the time. So everybody went, 15 people went up there. We took all our equipment, 18 cameras, 3 DVRs, because we didn't know how big the house was. And found out the house was, it's big enough to...
A one-bedroom efficiency.
Yes, what we call salt box house is basically a living room, dining room, kitchen all in one, and a one bedroom and a bathroom and a closet bathroom and where the washer and dryer was just a stackable in the corner. And that three cameras in the house take care of the whole house.
Well, at least you're prepared, you know.
But she claimed that the house was very haunted and had a lot of activity. Well, like I said, we went out there thinking it's a big home. We were going to take a while set up. So we got there early and found out it was a very small house. My car would barely fit inside this house. Okay. Not your car, but my car. Your car wouldn't fit.
Right.
But anyway,
I'm driving like a presidential limousine.
We took all our cameras. The cameras, we decided, well, let's utilize this camera because she had a big yard in the forest. National Forest just bordered her area there. So she said there's things in the woods. So we took our cameras and we did a perimeter all the way around ourselves to protect ourselves from whatever out there. Maybe we could catch it on camera, you know? And we got all that set up, and Richard and all them, they decided, they asked the lady, well, can we just go walk around in the woods? Because it's a national forest, and they had a little creek on it. And she said, yeah, sure, y'all can go out there and walk around. We had plenty of time, so my guys went out there and started walking around, and next thing you know, they were yelling at me to bring a camera. Walked out there and see what they found, and they found footprints that were, like I said, about 18 inches long, about, you know, a foot wide, and then they were about 2 inches deep in the ground, and their stride on it was probably between about 8 feet strides, so they were pretty good strides on it, and we tracked it. And went all the way up to the house, and then we found the tree that it stopped and put its hands on because it had rubbed the bark off the tree because it goes there quite often, and it was probably 7 feet to 8 feet off the ground where the handprint or where it grabbed a hold of the tree. And then we found two prints that wrapped around the tree where it put its foot on each side of the tree. So he had a good look at the house. And we found all the others. Of course, we wasn't prepared for it, so we didn't get to track them. But we took a lot of pictures, and we had some real good pictures. And we sent that to the Zipcurology people here in Arkansas, and they said those were real good footprints that we had found, and I hadn't seen something like that in a while. And we did find footprints up between the house and the propane tank where it had come up to the house and wrapped on the side of the house where she said it was, and where it wrapped on the side of the house had, she's got siding, and it was dented in that area where about 8 feet off the ground.
I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, you got to think about this. This is, if that, you know, like if this really happened, and there's a Bigfoot there, you know, stuff like that. That's terrifying. I mean, it's. I wouldn't go outside my house.
That's why we put
a bigger shotgun.
That's why we put our cameras out there to see if we can catch it, and the bad thing, the reason we did that was because the house was so small, we had to set up all our equipment on the outside. And we didn't have any canopy or anything to put our stuff under. And it was off the back porch where this thing had come up to and opened the back door. Or tried to open the back door.
Was she close to anybody? Or was she like in the middle of nowhere? I mean, like, who's her closest neighbor?
There was another house across the street for about a half mile down the road.
I'm always worried about a crazy neighbor, you know what I mean? some dude who has way too much time on his hands.
Yeah. We didn't go out and look for this thing. It was one of those things that came to us. And that night, as we were sitting out there, they always say this had this thing or Bigfoot has a real pungent smell of like rotting decay of flesh or bad spoiled rotten eggs, we'd say. We did have this smell come up that night, and it was really bad. And the wind happened to be blowing up towards us from where the woods were, and the smell would change. It would actually start in one area, and be real strong for a while, and then it would move down a little bit and stay there for a little while, and then it would move on down behind us and stay a little while, and eventually it just kind of went out of our range where we couldn't smell it no more. So whatever that was, it was really, really bad. And then the guys were really on the end because they had a feeling that something was actually watching us, you know.
Yeah, that's just creepy. I don't know. I mean, I might go on like a Bigfoot hunt with y'all sometime.
Well, like I said,
it'd be with a little bit of trepidation.
And then it's like at that. And the other little evidence that we have that's around here that is we call the Bigfoot here between Cedarville and Rudy in area in Van Buren, as we caught it, the yelling on the in the that we heard, and we heard it physically, heard it with our own ears, and we recorded it, and I sent it to one of the guys who are big in the Bigfoot research, and I thought it was one thing, and he told me no, it was actually a Bigfoot yelling, but it was actually like three, maybe four surrounding this herd of coyotes. And he said, did you go up and see where they were at? And I said no, because it was on private land up on the hillside from the cemetery was at, and it sounded like they were murdering or these coyotes. I mean, they were, something was really after these coyotes. And then after the coyotes were going crazy, and all of a sudden they just went quiet, and then you heard this big old yell as it walked or left the area. You could hear it, ooh. And so they're going, oh, okay, we're going.
Good Lord. Yeah, I think I might. Yeah, I'd be the first one back to the car.
But the bad thing was we had cameras set up in the cemetery and cords running all over the place. So we had to go out in the dark after this, whatever's out there, don't know where it's at, and grab all our cameras and back up and leave.
Forget that. I'll wait till the next day. Come back. I'm going to see what the hell's coming at me before I die.
That's what me and Richard had about planned on doing. We planned on just leaving the equipment there, taking a DVR, disconnect the DVR and take it with us and just leave everything and come back early in the morning and go out there and get this equipment, you know. And I'm sitting there going, okay, but I really don't want to leave these cameras because, you know. And so we all says, well, you go that way, you go that way, and you go that way. We all know where the cameras are. We'll just grab them. Don't worry about rolling up the cords. Just grab the tripods and the cameras and just hightail it back. So that's what we did.
Can you imagine, though, coming up on, by accident, an actual Bigfoot hunt going on? You know, like maybe they didn't see you coming or hear you, and you were witness to being able to see them at the finishing moments of a hunt of coyotes, and like three of them coming out of the clearing and grabbing all of them, like two or three coyotes, and just ripping them apart. Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
After we
There's no way anybody would ever believe you after that story.
Yeah, after we got back and I looked on the, actually pulled up Google Earth and zoomed in on the area that we was at, and I kind of went in the area where we thought it was from the cemetery, and where it was at and where we were standing at, it was only about 100 yards, maybe less. Because it was up on a ridge. We're in it and down in the cemetery. It was up on the ridge line. So I say 100 yards. It's probably closer than that, but, you know, maybe 50 yards from us. It was pretty close.
Yeah. I'm glad I wasn't up there. I mean, it had to have been something, whether it's Bigfoot or something else. I'm kind of wasn't around.
Yeah.
Anything that makes noises like that and likes to eat coyotes, don't you?
And we've been out there probably, you know, hundreds of times because we usually take our, that's where I usually take all my guys when they first join the groups because that cemetery is active, very active. And so I always take them out there. So I had took a couple of guys out there, and me and Richard and these other two guys were out there with us. And, you know, that's where it left it at. So we've been out there many, many times, and this is the first time we've ever heard anything like that. And it made us think twice what we were being out there for.
Well, you haven't taken me out there yet, so I'm glad that I know that now before you rope me into that little journey.
Oh, come on, babe. We got you a good cemetery to go to.
I don't mind the cemetery. The cemetery doesn't bother me. Ghosts I can handle. Something 7 feet, 8 feet tall that's actually got real hair, real claws, and real freaking teeth that likes to eat coyotes for a living. I don't know. You know, and me being the fattest guy in the group with, like, the biggest steak, you know what I mean? I don't think so. Probably a bad idea for a fat guy. And, you know, I'd be the slowest runner, too, so I'd be the deer with the broken leg behind everybody else.
But after that, we went out there a couple times. After that, we went out there and we never heard anything. So we was actually in the right place at the right time or the right place at the wrong time. Either way you want to talk about it.
Right. Yeah, one way or the other. I don't know. You know, we were talking earlier about these guys that actually like to go out there and, like, for a hoax or whatever, make these footsteps up. You know, you hear about, you've heard about people who do that with these, what do they call those? Field circles or something like that. Is that what they call them? Field circles, you know.
Crop circles.
Crop circles. Yeah, I was close. Yeah. Just use a different word. Yeah, they've caught people who do that. This other stuff, too, with Bigfoot, I'm sure there's been a lot of hoaxes and things like that. It almost makes me wonder about what the decision-making process was of the people who like to create these hoaxes. Is it that they just totally don't believe in it at all, and they just get a kick out of, you know, messing with people? Or is it that they really believe in it a lot, and they believe in it so much they have to make up evidence so that the people around them will be convinced too? And to be honest with you, I'm kind of hoping it's the first one with most of them, because that would make more sense than the other. You know, because I think I've run into that a lot over the years while talking to people, where you'll run into a person who, you know, oh, I believe in this, or I believe in that, or I saw this, or I saw that, and then you get to know them a little bit better, ask more questions, and you realize that they're just making stuff up as they go. And I always am confused by that, because I'm like, why would you do that? Why would you make it up? Why would you do that if you truly believe in it and want to find answers? What would be the point in making something? You know what I mean? If the goal is to actually have proof and it be actually real, why make it up? Something I haven't understood about some people. Yeah.
Because they want attention.
Okay. That's just weird.
Well, yeah, I know. But, you know, it's like, you know, why does somebody walk by and all of a sudden say, oh, yeah, I've done this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, I've been there, I did that, and never been there. Because they want to be recognized, maybe, you know. I know a bunch of people do that. So you get the Bigfoot thing going, and the Nelsons over there got all these TV reporters around their house because they've got evidence of a Bigfoot or whatever that came in their yard, and they've got the DNA or they found some bones or something or other like that. And you got the guys over here that usually gets the good attention, and they say, wait a minute, they're getting all the attention. What happened to us? So now they're going to go over and find out what's going on. Go, oh, yeah, we got that over here, too. And never had it. You know.
It's disappointing from the point of view of people who truly have a passion to find the answer, the real answer. To the question, it's frustrating and disappointing.
And that's for everything. That's not just for Bigfoot or UFOs or,
exactly,
you know, whatever. That's in the paranormal, the ghost, and all, you know.
Right.
The Joneses down the road. The Joneses down the road has got paranormal people there. Oh, yeah, you know, they're filming. They got the production crew out there, and they're doing this, and... And the Jacksons up the road says, hey, we got things going on up here too, you know, and nothing ever happens up there. You know, so now, because they're wanting to be into the loop and get into the what's going on, you know, so because they've been left out. That's why people play jokes on them, hoaxes on everything, because they want to be have attention. Or some of them may do that to keep people away, making things, well, they are hoax, and they actually have got something on their land, and they just don't want nobody out there.
I guess you proved your point. They all have a reason for some, they all have some reason.
Oh, yeah.
May not be understandable to all of us, but anyway, I know me personally, I'm always in search of the truth. And you know that about me. You've known me long enough to know that that's how I am. To a fault, sure, anybody who's listening to this who is a big believer has probably at least said two or three times during this conversation tonight, man, this guy doesn't believe in nothing. It's not that I don't. It's not that I'm totally closed-minded. It's just that when you're in search of the truth, you won't accept anything less than it. And that's what makes a good investigator, is someone who's not biased by their too open-mindedness to have a closed mind for a moment and try to find a natural answer.
All right.
I mean, there's comfort in both answers. There's comfort in knowing that, oh my gosh, you really did catch something that is truly paranormal. And there's comfort in catching something that is truly, that truly has a natural explanation. So either way, it's a win, right?
Yeah. But do you see all that paranormal stuff coming down earlier?
What, that snow?
Is that what that's called?
You're talking about That junk coming out of the sky tonight out here.
That white floating stuff that was going in and out of buildings,
yeah,
and around buildings and through cars.
Bunch of tiny orbs.
Oh, we all make this thing. I mean, we've got to make fun of something, brother. But no, that was a good little snow.
Right.
I don't even know if it's still snowing or not.
I don't either. And where is Richard? Anyway.
No, I figured Richard had all those shish kebabs that he made up, and I'm sure he probably ate most of them if you saw how many he had.
Well, you know, it is his birthday.
It is his birthday, and I figured, he told me he didn't know if he would join the show, but the thing was I had a surprise for him. And
well, give me his surprise then.
And so,
I'll take
and,
it.
Well, I mean, I played it once when you were trying to, but I'll play it here again. But it was a special thing for a certain people, And I was going to play it for him because they took time out and sent me the I asked them to call in, but they were busy. But so I asked them to record something or other, you know, and that way I can actually give it to him. And here he is. He's not even online. The other one is not even on Facebook or anything. So I assumed he probably ate all those shish kebabs that he cooked up and taken a
nap. Or he's spending some special time with his wife tonight.
Yeah, could be. But it's probably because he's asleep. No, this is the little surprise I had for him.
Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Richard. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, buddy. Hope
happy birthday,
great.
Man. Happy birthday.
Hey, it's T&B from White Collar Sideshow, by the way. Cheers, buddy.
Very cool.
His favorite group that's here in town, White Collar Sideshow. They're from Fort Smith, Arkansas, and
hey, which reminds me, I need to get a hold of them sometime soon. Yeah, to hook me up with them. I got a question for them.
Huh?
I said that reminds me. I need to get a hold of them. I got a question for them. I don't know, I'll ask them sometime soon. I'll get with you about that later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway,
that was that was my surprise to him from them, because they did.
It was a very cool surprise. You might have missed it.
We're going to have we will have another show with them here pretty soon. They're fixing to record another song and put it out there, and they're going to send me the song, and that way we can listen to it and talk about it. But they are going to come on and on a future show and talk about more of their adventures through their career and what they got coming up and their new song and everything.
Now they used to be like a Christian band or something like that.
They started out. Well, they kind of are still a Christian band. Some of the songs that they're playing now doesn't sound like it, but. Yeah, they started out Christian band. Actually, they started out with two drummers at one time, and then Veronica came along down the road, and they ended up, I guess they ended up just doing one drummer and her. So it's T and Veronica doing the show. Of course, they have the other guys around. There's videos and stuff. Everything they do themselves. So.
Well, speaking of shows, we got another one tomorrow, right?
Yep, we got another one tomorrow. We're going to, if we can get Richard to come aboard, I don't blame
him. Yeah, right.
It is crazy birthday, but, you know. Anyway, tomorrow we'll be talking about haunted places in Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas.
Okay.
Usually on Sundays, about that's what I usually do is talk about haunted places in different areas. Not really a subject. The subject's usually on a Saturday, and then the haunted places are usually on Sundays. Talk about haunted places in and around the areas.
Can you hear my dog yakking in the background? Did you hear that?
I can hear that. I don't think he was blowing on something.
No, my dog was hacking. She likes to eat too fast sometimes. Sorry about that. It was kind of gross. I just wanted to know it wasn't me. It was my dog.
I thought she was blowing into a mic trying to get it clear. Maybe that was going to be a problem.
No. Thought it was a side effect of the COVID.
Yeah, I thought it was COVID, you know.
No, it's just... Well, you know, tomorrow's show, I'm looking forward to that because obviously it's more up my alley as far as knowledge goes. We talk about this Bigfoot stuff, but it's more of a learning experience when I talk about it than it is being able to help other people out.
Well, okay.
You know what I mean?
Let's just get to another point on one of our shows we did several years back. And it's still an ongoing show thing because it always brings up more questions than answers. Why, and the subject of the show is called Why is the Number 3, why is Number 3 so important in the paranormal world?
Okay. I'm listening.
And you'll be fascinating on what it comes up with. Well, you got to think. When you're reading, you'll find out.
Well,
I
don't know where you're going with this.
Well, is always that was the subject. Subject would be is why is number 3 so important into the paranormal world. Because most of the time, the only reason we brought this up was because me and my other partner at the time, Jeff, was on the radio with me. We would be reading these things about haunted places in the United States, different states. And 95% of the time when you read on something or other, something always happens when there's a 3 knocks, something would happen. You stomp the floor 3 times. You shut the door 3 times. You shut something in 3 times. Honk your horn 3 times. Every time there was a 3, something happened to happen. It would be number 3. So we did this radio show. Why is number 3 so significant in paranormal? Do you know?
Well, you're dealing with usually demonic situation, negative spirits. I think 3's been kind of a common denominator with my experience. 3 knocks, 3.
The thing is, why 3 knocks? Why not 2? Why is it always 3? Why does the paranormal or the ghost spirits, whatever, answer you with number 3? It has to have something, some meaning. Why 3? Not 2, not 4, but 3.
I'm trying to think of the word. Sometimes I lose my words. I think I'm getting Alzheimer's or something. It's like they're mocking. That's the word I'm looking for. Mocking the Holy Trinity.
Well, why 3?
A lot of people believe.
Well, why 3, though? Because everything happens on 3. Not just knocking, not just slamming doors 3 times, not moving, not honking your horn 3 times, not doing this 3 times. But all the hauntings happen on the third floor. Third floor. Or a room number with a 3 in it. You know what I'm saying?
Really? I've never seen that common denominator yet.
Yeah, because it's either a third floor or some room that has a 3 in it. That has a haunting in it.
Yeah, I mean, not every time.
No, every time. Everything you read has to have a number 3 in it.
Prove it.
It has to something to do with number 3. Let's say I was watching Zach the other day, and they were actually doing an investigation in a building that had a numbers on the walls. Right?
Right.
And one of the rooms that was really haunted was 21. 213.
Mm.
And 1 = 3. 21. Or they were down away in room 223. It was another 3. Or they were upstairs on the third floor in room 133 or 233.
Well, I'm trying to clarify. You're not saying that a building, a location has to have some numerical three or have some relationship to three in order to be haunted, are you?
No. I'm just asking why does it, because most of the time it does.
Okay. All right. Yeah, just trying to clarify that, because I know I've been in second floors with that friends around. And...
Well, yeah, you got second floor. It could be, we got people in room 233. It says things happen. Or we're in room 113, something happens. We got this three involved.
Well, now you're going to start making me try to look at all those factors every time I'm doing an investigation. You're like, where's that in three? Then I won't believe myself because I'm going to think I look too far into it.
Most of the time, everybody claims the most activity happens at 3 o'clock, 3 to 4.
Right.
You got three again.
The witching hour.
Or
the witching
they're in, or they're in bed and they wake up at 3 or 3:30. Why? Where's that three again?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, it's been like a common denominator, just like the whole get out thing. Karen and I, my wife, we were talking about this the other day. I think maybe today even, the whole get-out thing. I mean, that's so overdone. That's so 1990s. You think some of these ghosts could come up with something better than that by now, you know?
Yeah.
The get-out thing. Or
yeah.
why is it always the lady in white, you know, or the lady in black?
Yeah.
It's just sometimes, or the cabinet, so that's another one. That's like way overdone by ghosts. If it actually is happening, is the cabinets in the kitchen opening? You know, what's that about? You walk in and all the cabinets are open. You can't come up with anything better than that. Hey, look, I'm a ghost, and I have the ability to open all the cabinets in your kitchen. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to find something much more creative to do with the energy that I need to make all that happen. Much more creative. I'm going to put a little artistic flair into it. Like, you know, maybe you open your car door for you. That would be a new one.
Well, I've had some people tell me that they have a ghost that folds clothes for them.
Really? That's what I'm talking about. My wife would love a ghost that folds clothes for
her. Does laundry.
Do the dishes.
And you laundry. And you want this ghost gone, you know?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't get rid of that one. That one would be there to stay. I can handle that. But you know, not to make totally light of the whole thing. But, you know, there's some people that, you know, they have hauntings in their home that it's very terrifying. Especially the people who've never experienced paranormal activity before in their life. And, yeah, that's one of the reasons why we do what we do, because we want to help out in those situations. It's like you and I have talked about before, Wayne, where we're kind of like firefighters in the paranormal community. While others are running out, we're running in, you know, to the paranormal situation. Because for some reason, we're built that way. We don't have a fear of it. When something happens, it's totally out of the realm of understanding. We run to it, trying to figure out what it is, because our passion just overrides our, I guess, our reason. So, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. It's just odd that over the years that we've done this radio podcast show, what we run across, and then it kind of was like, you know, that would be a good radio show to get into and talk about and see what we come up with. And normally when we talk about the number three, you don't get answers. You get more questions at the end. So it's an ongoing thing, you know.
Number three.
Now I guess you're going to think about that all night long now. See.
This show's starting to go into a different Hold on a minute.
The Bigfoot thing kind of gone out the window now, but, you know.
Paranormal. Uh-huh. I'm trying to spell and use my fat fingers at the same time. I'm looking something up while we're talking.
Well, at least your computer works that way, huh?
Ghost Adventures talks about the number 3 when associated with the afterlife. The number 3 is often talked about with death occurring in threes.
That's true. You also get 3 pregnant friends.
This is true. There's a lot of things in life that tend to happen in threes as well. You know, this is kind of off the subject, but I know as a Christian, God tends to give me the answers that I need to prayer with 3 confirmations, whether it be from 3 different people or 2 different people in 1 circumstance. I'm always careful not to look too far into it either, so that I'm not just, you know, making it up so that it fit the equation. But yeah, there's that. And it's like Darren was saying too, that you always seem to have friends, you know, pregnant in threes and stuff like that. And I don't know if that's paranormal or what, but.
Why?
Are you searching for something now?
Who, me? No.
Okay, why all of a sudden?
I was just listening to what you say. I was indulging what you were saying. So I was just kicked back here, just letting you talk.
I was looking at something else there too, but that's something new, something completely different, way off subject. If there's anyone listening who's had experiences, there's kind of an open forum, I guess you could say, at this point. Maybe you've done some Bigfoot hunting yourself. Is that what you call it? Bigfoot hunting?
Uh-huh.
Scouting?
Well, investigations.
Yeah,
just like a ghost hunting investigation or ghost investigations. It's Bigfoot investigations.
If any of you have done some Bigfoot investigations and had something happening that's interesting, feel free to get me. Of course, I don't have the number right with me. Right on. Down to 516-666. Gotta love that. 8428.
Man, I didn't choose that. That's what he gave it to me.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Which is strange in itself, that number coming up a lot.
Yeah.
Once again, the mocking of the Holy Trinity is what that number is all about, or has the history of. That was the Trinity being, you know, God's number 777. Don't know a whole lot about all of that Bigfoot stuff yet, the cryptid stuff yet. Just now getting into all that stuff, learning more about it. There's so many different kinds of cryptids. You know, pretty soon I'm going to be going out to, I'm going to be going out to Goatman's Bridge and doing an investigation out there. I honestly don't have much faith that we're going to catch much. I may be wrong, may be very surprised, but, you know, that's a cryptid situation too. Some people have seen what appears to be half man, half goat sort of thing. I'm going to be honest, if I say something like that, it's gonna mess in my head a little bit.
Yeah. That is in, what is it, Looney Tunes, Texas? Or Looney Tunes, Texas? Oh. No, it's the...
Yeah, something like that. It's just south of Denton, I believe. Texas is where the bridge is.
Address is Lantana, Texas. I did look that up. That's where I did look that up. As a matter of fact, I'm on it right now.
Yeah, it's got an interesting, you know, Goatman's Path. Goatman's Bridge has an interesting past. It's actually called,
I should have had it up here before I went and started.
Actually, it's in Denton, Texas. So.
Yeah, it's considered Denton, Texas.
Yeah.
But it's outside of Denton. Goatman's Bridge. It's actually the old Alton Bridge in Lantana, Texas. And it's gained the name of Goatman's Bridge basically because apparently and this is just a story, right? Can't be confirmed. But apparently, you know, it was used back in the day for a bridge that was used for farming and things of that nature. And apparently a farmer that was a black farmer who was a goat farmer became pretty successful in farming these goats. And apparently at one point or another, some group of rednecks with the KKK decided they were going to make sure that that wasn't happening for him anymore. So they took him and hung him off the bridge. They looked down to make sure that he was dead. He was not there. His body wasn't there. It's just the rope. And so some say that to this day, every once in a while, you can see the goat man, which is actually the old farmer. And he appears to some people half goat, half man. Pretty interesting ideas or stories.
The bridge got its name from a popular local ghost story legend concerned as a successful African-American goat farmer who in 1938 is said to have been murdered on the bridge at the hands of the local members of the KKK.
Yeah.
Yeah, said that the Klansman lynched the goat farmer hanging on the noose over the side of the bridge, but when they went down below to confirm that the goat farmer was dead, his body had disappeared.
Yeah.
I know,
and
that's what you just said, but I was just reading.
Right. I know I've had one of the other members of my team in Dallas, you know, our team is kind of, you know, all over the place within four state area. And he went out there and did some scouting and some baseline readings the other day and sent his pictures. And I think what the biggest thing is now that gives it its allure to paranormal investigators is the fact that there's so many kids going out there and doing satanic rituals and things of that nature, putting all kinds of graffiti all over the bridge and under the bridge. Just a lot of unsavory things actually happens there in that area. And, you know, from a skeptic's point of view, it's like, yeah, well, that's no big deal. But from a paranormal investigator's point of view, you know as well as I do that can create some activity. Whether that activity is mature to the point where you can get physical evidence of it or not, that's to be determined. Is the activity so new that, you know, maybe those spirits or entities haven't quite learned how to, you know, full on make themselves seen, heard, or experienced in any way, or they just automatically, it's a high intensity. You know, I'll find that out. May catch something, may not, right? That's the nature of the business.
Yeah.
But interested to at least be there and experience it, see if I get any feelings or any evidence.
Yeah. Said over the decades have they been numerous alleged sightings of a goat-like apparition and with a goat head haunting the area. Some Locals have claimed to see glowing eyes staring at them from on the bridge, while others have claimed to hear splashing in the creek directly below, followed by an unsettling laughter.
That sounds residual.
In 2017, BuzzFeed Unsolved Supernatural Investigations investigated some of the claims. Actually, none of the ghost stories surrounding the bridge are based on the specific historical fact. Today, the bridge is only used for foot traffic since the replacement bridge was constructed nearby.
Well, you know, it's going to be one of those places. It's gained a reputation and notoriety because a lot of the big names have gone out there, Ghost Ventures being one of the most notable names, which I believe they sensationalized it. There we go. Got the word out. Which I believe they sensationalized it a little bit. But that's just my opinion based on what, you know, the viewer is sitting here watching. It seemed like everything they did catch was, like most investigations, tend to be off camera. And you're kind of left with either using your imagination or having to believe them based on their credibility. So, but there's a possibility that I think, based on what pictures I've seen of recent, that place is going to be one of those places that pretty soon they're going to start monitoring pretty closely. And might even shut it down to the general public because it's really becoming pretty dilapidated really fast, and kids are doing some really stupid stuff out there. Might turn into a pretty dangerous area at one point or another. I'll be able to tell you more about that in the future, I'm sure. Anyway, the whole point was, this will be my first opportunity to be in a cryptid, a possibility to see a cryptid.
Yeah.
So.
Looks pretty squatchy in that area.
Let's hope we don't run into anything like that.
Yeah. That?
No.
That almost looks like one of the bridges that the, I had it right there and I lost it. I'll think of it here in a little bit. I was thinking of a story, but, and then I lost it. Now I can't think of it.
It's hard to get the old way.
Yeah, I don't know. It's gone. I'll think about it after the show. Oh, well.
Yeah,
it is frustrating.
Well, you know, from a paranormal investigator's point of view, I think it's important to go and check these places out from time to time.
Oh, yeah. You might
not
like that.
It's not only fun and interesting, but it's also a good opportunity to practice your talents and learn more things. And sometimes it's just a big disappointment. Other times it's a big eye-opener, depending on where you're at. But I think most importantly in this business is using your knowledge to help others. I think you and I talked a little bit about that briefly today. And I think a lot of paranormal investigation, or I would say ghost hunters, because some of these people, that's just their pastimes to go try to hunt ghosts and have the experience, which is fun. I know it's exciting, but if you have that knowledge, there's a lot of people out there who are terrified of this stuff and they really need help. That's one of the reasons why the industry standard is to do this stuff for free for people to help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I enjoy it. I like helping people. I enjoy it a lot. And that's one of the reasons why I like you guys. One of the reasons why I like you, Wayne. I mean, the group that we have is so, you know, based on just trying to find what's going on and get a solution. And
right.
Especially people in our area, the River Valley area, this is something that's still relatively new. It's not new. You know, paranormal is not new enough by any means. Don't get me wrong. It's just, it's not something that people in this part of the country talk about so freely. It's like tongue in cheek out here where we live. Where in other parts of the country, you know, it's widely accepted and people will talk and talk about it openly and freely. You still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm reading. Sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm always reading something really, but
yeah, that's cool. But this area, you know, River Valley has just got tons of rich history.
Well, you talk
when
about
it comes
a bridge.
To paranormal.
You talk about a bridge. I'm going to tell you here off air about a bridge here in Arkansas. That is supposed to be the most haunted bridge in Arkansas.
Okay.
So I'll tell you after we get off the air. Because we might want to go there. You're going to a bridge.
Okay.
You're going to the bridge of the Goatman's Bridge in Texas. Well, there's a bridge here in Arkansas. They claim to be the most haunted bridge in Arkansas. And I'll get to you after the show and tell you what it is, and maybe we might want to go there.
That stinks. I mean, everybody's going to be like, well, what is it? Y'all going to have to Google it.
Yeah. Google.
Wonder why Google. Bridges. You can have paranormal activity in some of the weirdest places. And
yeah.
The longer you do this sort of thing, the more you realize that it really has nothing to do with how creepy the place looks, how old it is, or even whether something tragic has happened there, or death's happened there. Sometimes it's just there. It makes no sense at all. Being a brand spanking new place with no history of the land. And then, there it is.
Yep. I've still
so many questions.
Still, in what I was trying to get to, while ago, I mean, I've got it. I just can't get it out. Because I was saying it looked like a certain bridge, and the reason I came up with the bridge thing was because I'm still looking for the I've done many stories on it, and now I can't think of the stupid thing about the bridge. Anyway, it'll come to me after a while.
Yeah, more than likely.
Yep, probably. Let's see.
You know,
I got my stack of papers here. Go ahead.
I was just thinking about Richard again.
He's
right?
Still alive.
He's still asleep. He's still
I
asleep.
Guess so.
He must have eaten all those.
You see how many that was, though? That's a, that was a lot of shish kebabs he cooked up. Like he's cooking for an army.
I know, right? Was he making that on his grill while it was snowing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Outside?
Outside cooking it up, buddy, while it was snowing.
That's what you call dedication.
Yeah.
Dedication to your kebabs, man. That's what I'm talking about. Man after my own heart.
Oh, Mothman is what I was trying to come up with.
Oh, yeah, the Mothman. That's up north, isn't it?
Is
that bridge?
The Silver Bridge, yeah.
like a fifth, wow. You know, Hampshire, New England, something like that.
Well, yeah, they've seen Mothman. I mean, they've seen Mothman in Chicago. They've seen Mothman all over the place.
Yeah. Watch that.
Anyway,
they have some documentary about that.
The bridge, if you've seen the bridge of the Silver Bridge, looks like the bridge that you're going to. That's why. And West Virginia.
I knew it was somewhere up north.
West Virginia. Oh, something in West Virginia. Yeah, Silver Bridge, yeah.
We're also going to be investing in some new place. It's apparently had some paranormal activity going on. It's at Fort Walter in Texas. And I had never heard of it. Had you?
Fort Walter?
Fort Walter in Texas. Yeah. Mineral wells. Apparently it used to be a German POW camp. And before that, it was Indian land that was apparently taken from them. So a lot of reports out there. Who knows? You know, sometimes you start doing these investigations in places that you've never been and don't expect anything from, that you get the most activity yet. We shall see. There's a lot of places here in Arkansas like that, too. A lot of places like that. Van Buren, my goodness. Have y'all talked much about... On this show, have you talked much about the headquarters, where you are currently sitting right now, Wayne?
So what?
On the show. have you talked much about the headquarters, where you're currently sitting in downtown Van Buren?
Not too much. We just tell everybody where we're at, basically. But, we haven't said much about the building itself.
About the paranormal activity that goes on in that place, it's pretty impressive. I mean, I've been impressed from it. I really have. Well, we've got some good evidence in that place. I mean, it's so unassuming. You wouldn't expect it to be as paranormal active as it is.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising, especially that building over there, because that's another question. Why there?
It's true.
Because when it was first built, it was built as a barbershop, and then they turned it into restaurants.
Right.
As far as I know, nothing went on. But why did they choose that over there? I have no idea.
Who knows? I mean, I think we've done investigations up there several times, and. If you notice that when we ask whoever may be there to invite others around, things seem to pick up. Have you noticed that as a common denominator?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe since downtown Van Buren is so paranormally active in general, maybe they all kind of know each other, kind of bring each other along sometimes. That's my best guess. Pretty weird. But we've had some interesting activity out there. Unassuming place, but yet seems to always...
A very active place.
I mean, that phone thing, I still can't wrap my mind around that. I'm still trying to debunk that in my head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a very interesting...
I think if we were to talk about that on the show, I don't even think people would... I think it's so unbelievable that happened.
I like to get Richard, of course, he was there and all that. I get that.
Well, maybe we'll talk. Do you want to talk about that on tomorrow's show?
Yeah, we can.
Kind of relive that moment that was actually pretty recent. That was, what, a month ago?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, that night was a very interesting event that went on that night.
Unbelievable is a good word.
So everybody wants really to listen in to us tomorrow. I'll talk about that. Well, we'd be airing that show about 6 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. We run 6 to 8 tomorrow. So join us after you get out in from church and all that, and sit down. You want to hear us talk about the experience that we had over at our headquarters next door where I'm at right now. Tune in and, you're going to be amazed. Really there is.
Yeah. Or you're going to think we're full of crap, one or the other. But I promise all you skeptics out there, I'm one of them. And like I said, I was left scratching my head on that one. No idea. I tried to debunk that. I asked several questions, looked into a few things. I still can't. Makes no sense. Anyway, yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Right now we're just teasing everybody, and they're going, well, shut up then, you know.
No, we're teasing you. We want you to join us tomorrow. We want to get a lot of people to tune in tomorrow for the show.
It's an interesting, it was an interesting experience, to say the least.
Well,
but just one of many experiences we've had there at headquarters. We should keep it secret, though, you know? We don't really want, I mean, not what happened, but I'm just saying, we don't want headquarters, we don't want to get the word out that we can get so much activity at that point, because it's our own little...
We don't want to get it out, you know. We could be charging. We could charge them to come in over there.
Yeah, there's an idea. Yeah. Well, they wouldn't be disappointed, I'll tell you that. That's for sure.
Yeah, we kind of stumbled on that building for, I mean, it's a good little stumbled on building, I tell you, for paranormal activity over there. Oh, we got some coffins in the back y'all can lay into, too, if you want to.
Yeah, that's right. Homemade coffins. One for fat people, one for skinny people.
Have you laid in that one? Yeah. You ain't been in that one back here yet, Dave, have you?
The little bitty one or the big one?
Well, either one. Have you laid in any of those?
I'm not laid down in them. I'm afraid I'd have a hard time getting up. I mean, I still think what I want to do is...
I don't think you'll have a hard time getting up when something touches you or screams in your ear or something like that. You'll be out of that coffin pretty quick.
Yeah. Not me.
Oh, okay. So I'm sorry.
I'd be too stupid to get up and run. I'd end up staying there.
You're not Mark Quayle.
What'd you say?
I said you're not Mark Quayle. I'm sorry.
Oh, ouch. Yeah, Mark Wise is listening right now. He's like, y'all, that's not funny.
I wish he was. listening. He may do it later on. I have to tell him, hey,
yeah,
you have to listen to the archives. We mentioned you on the show.
That's right. He's fun. I like it. But I was going to say, sometime pretty soon, I want to... actually get a cot and go in that back area there of headquarters. And I want to test myself just by myself with maybe a radio in case I need to get a hold of you. Like, if, you know, something attacks me or something.
Well, and
I want to be able to stay the night by myself. Definitely. What?
I'll put a video recorder in there. And I'll come over here and run the cord all the way over here. And you can have the building by yourself. You better do it pretty quick because we're going to fix them to pile a bunch of stuff in that area and do some remodeling over on this side.
Well, then I need to do that pretty quick then. Yeah. I want to do it here in the next couple of months. I mean, I'd like to definitely get in there. And
you might be safe then, because by the end of it, we'll have everything back out again. But if you're going to want to do it anytime soon, you might do it pretty quick, because we're fixing to shut down her shop and take everything out of it and store it over there, and remodel her store and then putting everything back. But it should be done in a couple of weeks.
I see. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to the opportunity to do it anyway.
But anyway, getting back to what you said, you want to put a cot back there. You want to sleep back there. You want to take all your recording stuff back there, and I'll put a camera back there, and then I'll bring it over here, and we'll set you up back there. Maybe you can figure out where the phone's ringing at over there at that time.
Yeah, right. Whatever the heck that was about.
We hear a phone ring over there all the time from over here, and nobody's over there. There's no phone lines hooked up over there.
Not even a phone. Yeah. Yeah.
You can hear a phone ring.
That's strange. But hey, we're going to be talking about that a little bit more tomorrow on the show.
Yeah.
And
you know, we've talked our 2 hours up. We got about 9 minutes left of the show, man.
Yeah.
And still
started off pretty rough. Apologies to all those who actually were listening through all that debacle.
But
learning curve, we figured it out.
Most of our listeners are used to that, because when me and Richard fires it up, we're either talking about technical problems or why I'm not there or why he's not there, or it always happens.
Well, maybe we can begin to streamline that a little bit, start making it a little bit better. Hey, we got a new intro to the show, which we had done, which is good.
Yeah, and you did
the first
a good
step.
Job on, you did a good job on that.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah.
And matter of fact, I used it on this opening show of this show.
Good.
So you can go back in after the show's over with and listen to it in the archives.
All right. Very good. Sounds like a plan.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, I have been up since yesterday at 2 p.m.
Well, you need to go
to
bed.
I had about 2.5 hours. Huh?
You need to go to bed.
Yeah. I got about 2.5 hours before I came in here and started trying to get all this squared away. But, I need to get some sleep. I haven't even eaten either.
Oh, goodness.
Probably.
I
know.
Man, you need to go eat, man.
I think I'm going to make some hot dogs and go to bed.
Hot dogs.
So, in case anybody out there is listening and you are a big Ghost Hunters fan, the TAPS team, and you have not heard this yet, they have a new series, not a new series, but a new season, with some of the original members being Jason Paz, being the main one. Grant is not with them, but a lot of the other original ones, Tango and Steve, they're with them. And anyway, just got through watching their newest, and these guys never cease to put out a good show. I'm not always tons of evidence they catch, but it's solid, and that's what I like about these guys. You can watch it on Discovery Plus. It's
cost me money to join Discovery Plus.
You know, if I had it, I'm actually, maybe I shouldn't say that on the air. Let's just say I don't pay for mine, okay? Well, but someone I know does. So.
Okay.
But if the person wasn't, I would pay the extra $10 just to have it, because Discovery Plus has all of your favorites, good stuff on it.
Yeah.
Shameless plug. Yeah.
All right, all everybody, it's been fun, and I want to thank Dave for figuring out how to call or get in and join me on the show. Even if he had a call in as a on your phone, which we there's always
an it works.
Well, it works. Yeah, it works. But anyway, hopefully I'll have your computer squared away tomorrow and you can do it our way. Anyway, everybody join us tomorrow, and we'll be talking about more of our headquarters venture over here, and you'll find out about the haunted bridge here in Arkansas. But I'm going to tell Dave here later on. I may let him go to sleep and get some rest before I tell him, but he'll know about it here pretty soon. But anyway, hope everybody's having a good day, and enjoyed the weather or the snow. It may not be snowing where you're at, but it's still snowing here as far as I know. At least another couple of hours, I say. But anyway, so Dave, I want to thank you for joining us, calling in and helping me out. And I'll talk to you tomorrow, and our show will be at 6 o'clock tomorrow, 6 to 8. In the afternoon, so everybody join us, and we'll see y'all then. So this is Tappin, the Arkansas Paranormal Network. I'm your host, Wayne. Co-host is Dave, and we'll see y'all tomorrow. And have a good night, everybody.